Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Meg Robinson.
Today on the podcast, I'm happy to be joined by Mark Evans, a pastor at Jonahville AME Zion Church right down the street from Harvest. And I'm going to be talking to him today about a very important issue of racial reconciliation. So, Mark, I am so glad that you have joined us today. Can you just introduce yourself, who you are a little bit, that'll help our listeners know who you
Absolutely. are? Thank you. First of all, let me thank you, Jerry, for the invitation. I am Mark Evans, the pastor of Jonahville AME Zion Church here in Huntersville, North Carolina, and I'm just happy to be a part of anything that is touching on a very serious subject as race. So I'm happy to be with you today.
Well, it's good to have you. Now, speaking of race, of course, they can't see us. This is a podcast. They can hear us, so people have probably already guessed, but I'm white and you're black.
Absolutely.
But we're brothers in Christ.
Amen.
So your church is predominantly black, is that black. Correct?
Absolutely right, yes.
And so tell us, let's talk about race. It seems to me that race is such a hot, difficult topic in our society. Would you agree with that?
I do agree with it. I often tell people when we begin to talk about race, it's an awkwardness that goes with race. Anytime we get to a place of encountering each other, it seems like it's awkward in this black and white, whatever race is involved. And what we're working toward, or what we desire to do, is to move that awkwardness out of the way and really have a true genuine acquaintance, a true genuine relationship. But they got to get rid of the awkwardness first. And I think one of the things that must happen is the conversation. I think that's what we're doing now. The conversation will help in doing that.
Absolutely.
But it takes some time. Takes some time.
What's your background, Mark? Was race an issue for you growing up?
It was. I came from a little small town in Hallsboro, North Carolina. And Hallsboro, we had our share of racial moments when we encountered racial slurs. We encountered racial marches. I think the KKK one year marched in one of the counties near where I live. So I've seen it. I've been the victim of some, I would call, racist comments that have lasting and deep rooting effect on you as a person. But it has caused me to grow and love all and to be an example, to go and love everyone. So it's for me, I have been given the mantle to go and teach what it means to embrace everyone.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's so prevalent in our society. There was a time in which I thought we were doing better as a society. And the reason why I say that is I go back to my being in middle school, and it was actually here in Charlotte. I was born in Virginia and lived a lot of different places, but my family moved here. I was one of the first people ever that was part of what they called the integration of the schools. There was the schools when I grew up. At first, you had your black schools and your white schools, right, and never right. the two met, right?
Right.
I was one of the first people that was Boston and Charlotte were actually, I believe, the two first cities in the U.S. that used busing to to address that issue. And so we encountered a lot of fear in those days, a lot of anxiety, a lot of tension. There were fights. I remember in middle school, one of my good friends was a black friend, and we always agreed that if there ever was a riot, I wouldn't hit him and he wouldn't hit me. But we did see riots, unfortunately, and there were police in the halls. And so when my kids grew up, I thought, we're past those days. But in the last few years in our country, as I look at it, I don't think we're past those days.
I'm in total agreement with you that I don't think we have passed that threshold that I thought we had passed. As a matter of fact, what I've come to find out is that we're so divided now that the division has now become a bitter division.
Yeah.
That one of the analogies that I use about the division that we are seeing within America now is that each person has taken their corner, as in a fight, and the bell has rung, but nobody wants to fight, but they're in their corner, sweating, and just, you know, just, they have dug their heels in. Everybody is ready to, and it's like it's ready to explode, but there's so much bitterness. We're separated in such a way that it's sad, but I do believe that hope is still alive. I do believe that things can change.
Well, let's talk about some hope, because there's a really interesting thing happening right now between your church and a predominantly white church, Independence Hill Baptist. Absolutely. We share a common friend, Todd Marlin.
Amen.
Pastor of Independent Hill. I've known Todd for a long time, and over coffee one morning, he shared with me the story of what is happening with you guys, and I would love for you to tell our listeners about that. It seemed like it started around the Charleston experience, that very unfortunate experience there. Give us some background.
I would love to. June 17, 2015, I was actually in annual conference in Greensboro, North Carolina. And that particular night, that Wednesday evening, is when the actual shooting took place. And that night, if you remember anything about that shooting at Emmanuel AME, it all over the news broadcast, CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, that's all they could talk about was what happened. So when I was at the conference that night, we have a what we call an evening service that starts about 7. And about 7:38, I started getting the little news feeds through my phone that there was a shooting in Charleston. And so when we dismissed that night, once the bishop gave the benediction, I looked at my phone, cut the television on, and realized that there was a mass shooting, and it happened in one of our sister churches on Emmanuel. And I received a lot of text messages from some of my members who were hurting and wanted to know why. And that particular night, of course, you know, I got no rest. And then the next morning, the bishop sent the word out that he wanted to pray, and had all of the pastors to come down, and we prayed. And while we were praying, the Lord laid on my heart to reach out to different pastors in the community. So I slipped aside to a room and made a few calls. And Pastor Todd, his administrative assistant, got me right to him. And I said, listen, I know you may have heard of the shooting. He said, yes. I said, I would love when we get back. I'm in Greensboro. I should be back Sunday, for us to have lunch and talk and perhaps bring the congregations together and just have a true conversation about race. And he said, absolutely. So when I came back, we had lunch that Monday. We brought the congregations together that Wednesday. And one of the things that happened when we met that Wednesday, what we realized, we stood at the front, Pastor Todd and myself, and we watched the people as they filed in. We met at Independence Hills Church, and we saw Independence Hill people on one side and Jonahville people all on the other side. They were divided. So he looked at me, Pastor Todd. I looked at him. I said, you see this? He said, yes. I said, we need to fix this. So we came up with this thing called the swirl, like ice cream, vanilla and chocolate. So we prayed and we told the people, this is what we want you to do. We want you to get up and we get ready to do a mass swirl. Sit beside someone you don't know. We mixed them up. And from that, he started naming me. My name for him is Bishop Swirl. He called me Bishop Swirl because we knew that unless we would encourage them to do the swirl, to sit with each other, that it wouldn't happen. There was tension in the room.
Yeah.
But we also knew, Jerry, that the people needed to see in us a genuine love for one another. Though we had just met, that conversation and that lunch we had that particular day lasted so long to where we really poured into each other. And I left that meeting knowing that he was no longer just a pastor down the street, but someone who would potentially be my friend. So that's what happened. We started then, and that's how it initiated. And from there, we've been doing a whole lot of other things.
That's awesome. So where is it today? What would you say have been the benefits of this new relationship between brothers who previously really didn't hardly know each other?
One of the things that I want to say about that is I'm looking at the actual title, Crossing the Barriers of Race. I would look at that particular title, Crossing the Barriers of Race, as really one of the first steps of getting to where we really need to be, which is where I think Pastor Todd and Independence Hill in Jonahville, we are knocking down the barrier of race. Because crossing the barrier of race, when I hear that or read that, it speaks more of the division. Let me tell you why. Because it says we can come over, you can cross over, we can spend some time together, but then I want you to go back. But the barrier is still there. And what we must do is get to a place of understanding that the barrier has to be removed. And I think Pastor Todd and I, what we did, we crossed the barrier, meaning we had the real conversation. We started talking, what is your issue with me? Some of them, what do y'all have? What's the problem y'all have with us? And we had real conversations, and we told them, this may hurt. But in order for us to get to a place of moving the awkwardness and really being authentic, that's the word I wanted to use, authentic, that we had to have the real conversation. And the real conversation may hurt. And what you're doing now, Jerry, you're having a conversation. You're taking the steps to help in knocking down the barrier. Because the truth of the matter is, we're all God's children. And when we can all get to that place of removing the awkwardness and really having, you know, what's the word that I use? Not being authentic. Mm-hmm. When we can be authentic, then when I come up to you like we just met, when you walked up, it's authentic when we hug now because we know each other. And one of the things I've learned, and you probably can attest to this too, Jerry, one of the ways you get from awkward to authentic is being repetitive in your coming together. The more we get to know each other, the more the awkwardness dies. The more when you see me, what's up, brother? And that's what happens. And you and I are now in that same place of getting from once, how you doing, to now, what's up, brother? Because we know we're brothers in Christ.
Yeah.
And we're on the same team.
Well, speaking of brothers in Christ, let's talk about this. What is the role that Jesus Christ plays in all of this? How does the gospel play into breaking down these barriers?
Well, one of the things that I often talk about is, and you can see it on my shirt, you hear we have black and white, but the key is we're all red all over. The same blood that saved me, that was flowed from Jesus, the same blood that saved you. And it's that same drawing of the blood that we do share, that we both love, that we both appreciate, that has brought us together. We love Jesus. Not differently. We love the same. We love him the same way. Our worships may be different. Our way of worship may be different. But the truth of the matter is we have more in common, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ, than any differences. And I wrote some things down, if you don't mind me just sharing,
sure,
as it pertains to one of the things that I like what you're doing today, Jerry. Oftentimes, being in the boat, I talk about this, it's comfortable. In other words, when Jesus called Peter to walk on the boat, or on the water, he was in a comfortable place. The boat was comfortable. Water was going to be, walking up was going to be the thing that's going to be dangerous. But he did it, and he got out of the boat. You are getting out of the boat. You're walking. You're seeking to walk on water, and it's dangerous. Because to do what you're doing and to really put it all on the line, Jay, means it's going to cost you something. Everybody won't agree with us coming together. But because you're willing and you have a passion to see that the barrier be knocked down, you're getting out of the boat.
Well, if I can use your analogy and pick up right there, if Jesus is out there saying get out, then I want to get out.
And he's saying it. He's saying it.
And obviously, if he's calling us, and we know he is calling
us.
In Christ, there's neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. I mean, Paul saw that and that wrote us about that in the book of Colossians, and that these barriers are broken down in Jesus Christ. So let's think about the average person listening here.
Okay.
That's not a church leader.
Okay.
They might be black, they might be white, they might be Hispanic, they might be Asian. Whoever they are, what are some attitudes and actions that might be helpful for them to knock down barriers and to take these chances that you're talking about?
What are the things that I think is important is getting to know one another. I think we oftentimes tend to judge people by what we've heard. And because of that, we have embraced different fears that we should not have. One of the questions came up when we had one of our sessions with Independence Hill, and we call ourselves the Hill in the Veal. If the Hill is hosting something, their name comes first. If we're hosting something, our name is called the Hill and the Veal. So we do different things like that just to hold moments of really just talking. So one of the conversations came up was, what are some of the stereotypes that you have about us? So one of the ladies asked the question, why are you all scared when you see a group of more five or six black boys together? And as a young white lady, you're walking by yourself. Why do you grab your pocketbook? And the lady said, I'm scared. Because when I look at my news, all I see are groups of young black men doing crime. And one of the things that we have to do, I tell her, speak to them. When you're walking up, speak to them. Say, good morning. And what that does is catch them off guard. And even if they're trying to do something, sometimes that may stop them. Speak. I've learned to speak. One of the things I did one day, Jerry, I was in a store getting my shoes, my heels done. I get taps on my shoes, my church shoes, so it can last a little longer. And there was this lady, and a white lady. She probably was in her 70s. And she had some shoes that were kind of worn down, and she wanted to get them fixed. And the lady who works on the shoes said to her, said, ma'am, to get these shoes fixed, it's going to be about $24. She said, $24? I might as well go and buy some more. That's what I paid for the shoes, $24. And she was really concerned because it's a little more expensive than what she wanted. And I just left the gym, had my sweatsuit on. I said, told the lady behind, I said, go ahead and fix the shoes. I'll pay for it. She turned around and looked at me. No, that's what I said. No, ma'am, go ahead and pay for the, fix the shoes. She looked at me. I walked out, left the money there. She ran me down. She said, thank you. I said, yeah, absolutely. See, because I didn't have my collar on, didn't have my suit on. But I believe in random acts of kindness. And I believe as a black man, I have to do my part in letting all people know that we are not what many folk are saying we are. Now, we have some who do things, but we're working to help them. I want to be a help to my race and all. I want to make sure that I'm doing my part on both ends. So it's important that we have the conversation, that we do what we're doing, and then move the conversation to action. So what's next? Okay, we're going to feed all people. Let's do it. Let's come together. Let's eat. Pastor Todd and I, we did what we call Operation Sandwich. Independence Hill, that was their endeavor. We joined them. We end up making sandwiches to feed the homeless. Let's work together. None of this that we did was done for any news to come, because that night we did meet, the news cameras came and they wanted to speak to Pastor Todd, and I told them to speak to the people. Our reason for coming together was not to be on TV and to promote, but then God convicted Todd and I both, and we both said, if it's for us to take to the masses by way of television, let's do it. So we did a couple of segments on television just to let them know that we are committed and we're going to be intentional about tearing down the walls.
That's awesome. So it's wonderful to see what God is doing And we know God is no respecter of persons.
Absolutely.
And he definitely wants us loving each other and working together. I'll give you the last word, just if you have any closing thoughts about what you see God doing and what might be in this area.
Well, I'm excited about what I see God doing, especially in what we call the Prosperity Village Network. This is a great opportunity for us to make a major impact in the community. I really believe that with us coming together, the churches here, Eastfield and Prosperity, in the surrounding areas, with the desire to knock down the barriers and truly become one in Christ, that we may be the model, not only for Huntersville and for Charlotte, but for the world. And we have to do our part, work together, and meet like we're doing. It won't happen overnight, but we must be intentional. And even if it's just me and you, Jerry, meeting, we got to meet with the intention of really making an impact on our community. And this is another step. This podcast is another step in you and Harvest Community Church making a major impact on tearing down and crossing the barrier of racism.
That's awesome.
So thank you.
Thank you so much for that. You know, it's interesting. You allude to the Prosperity Village Network. We'll be saying more about that on this podcast, because there are many churches around here that we're just talking about relational unity and seeing what God wants us to do. There are some small differences, right? We have small doctrinal differences with each other. But we are going to focus on the main thing, which is Jesus Christ and his gospel and his word, and then how he can unify us, because he looked at his early disciples and said, that's how the world's going to know that you're mine, if you have love one for
Absolutely.
Another. So I want to say thank you, Bishop Swirl.
I receive it. Thank you so much, Jerry Barber. God bless you. Nice to be here. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out about how you can donate to support the podcast.